A new investigation into the mortgage mess that sparked the recession.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The New York State Attorney General has reportedly opened an investigation into the mortgage industry. The investigation is looking into how big banks packaged loans into securities, and the inquiry is said to target Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and Goldman Sachs. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is on this story for us this morning, and he joins us live. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, what do we know right now about this investigation?
Well, remember, this is how the big banks made a lot of their money during the housing boom in the early 2000s. They pooled mortgages into securities, and then they sold them on to investors.
Right.
The problem is some of those mortgages were really risky. They might not have been backed by income statements. The loans probably should never have been made to the homeowners, and then let alone loaded into these securities. When the housing bubble burst, a lot of mortgages went bad, and investors lost billions. Now, the Office of New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman is asking for documents and meetings with B of A, Morgan Stanley, and Goldman Sachs, as he said at the top. He's reportedly looking for evidence of possible fraud in the creation of these mortgage-backed securities.
And Mitchell, this is just the latest legal action against the banks. Remind us what else is going on right now.
Well, they do have a lot of trouble on their plates. There are already private lawsuits against some of the banks over these pools of lousy mortgages. Some of the pension funds and mutual funds and insurance companies that bought into them now want some kind of restitution. And then there's the ongoing settlement talks between federal and state officials and banks that do what's called mortgage servicing, some of those engaged in so-called robo-signing, other possible abuses of homeowners who lost their homes to foreclosure after the bubble burst.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Thanks, Mitchell.
You're welcome.
To Georgia now, where the criticism is pouring in after the state's Governor Nathan Deal signed an Arizona-style immigration bill targeting undocumented residents. Tourism and convention officials in Atlanta fear it will lead to an economic boycott. And then there are concerns about the effect it'll have on farmers, as Gene Bonner of Georgia Public Broadcasting reports.
Georgia's law requires businesses with 11 employees or more to use the federal E-Verify system to make sure workers are legal. Officials in Georgia's agriculture industry are concerned about its impact on the workforce.
You have to have the migrant worker or you don't get your crop in.
That's Charles Hall of the Georgia Fruit and Vegetable Growers Association. Hall says without teams of migrant workers, farmers may switch from growing key Georgia crops like peaches and Vidalia onions to other produce that machines can harvest.
A row crop, a cotton, a peanut, a soybean, does not require the hand labor and the harvest labor that vegetables or peaches or blueberries do.
It's unclear how strictly the state will enforce the provision, but the bill's sponsor, Republican State Senator Matt Ramsey, says it removes the number one incentive that brings illegal immigrants to Georgia.
That's access to jobs.
Some of the law's provisions take effect July 1st. In Atlanta, I'm Jean Bonner for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning. Tokyo is up about a tenth of a percent. The financial crisis at the U.S. Postal Service is the subject of a hearing today in the Senate. The Postal Service posted a $2.2 billion loss for its latest quarter and said it may not be able to pay its bills by September. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 47 points to close at 12,548.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. By Manta, connecting millions of small business owners with new customers every day. On the web at manta.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
The European bailout of Portugal is official. EU finance ministers formally agreed on the terms last night. This means that so far, three countries that use the euro have been rescued from potential default. And Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports all these bailouts are souring feelings among some Europeans about their union.
At a garbage collection center in Lisbon, workers are on strike protesting the terms of Portugal's bailout. They object to the deep cuts in public spending aimed at reducing the country's debts. Union organizer Luis Dias.
But who is paying these debts? It's the workers, the Portuguese workers, the Portuguese people. It's not the banks, it's not the government, it's we are.
Portugal enthusiastically adopted the euro, but union official Ana Oliveira says the bailout has underlined the downside of belonging to the eurozone.
We cannot manage our deficit as we want. We cannot choose the economic policy we want, but we have to accept what is imposed by the European Union.
There's even more dissatisfaction with the EU in Germany, but for different reasons. On the streets of Berlin, people complain about having to bail out other Europeans after they failed to be as prudent as the Germans.
We, the Germans, also had to face a lot of social cuts in order to avoid to get into trouble as Portugal, Ireland or Greece now is.
I mean, it's their problems, not ours. Why should we do something about it?
Many Germans feel betrayed, says Hans-Olaf Henkel, former head of the Association of German Industries. He says the public voted for a currency union, but they got what Germans call a transfer union instead.
Which means that the German taxpayer in the future will also have to support Greece, Portugal, Spain, probably Italy, and eventually France.
Supporters of the euro say such fears are certainly exaggerated, but the single currency, which was aimed at bringing European countries closer together, appears to be having the opposite effect. At the European desk, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, to a gas station I wish I had driven by the other day here in Los Angeles. It was selling gas for $1.10 a gallon, $1.10. Police had to direct traffic after customers lined up down the block. Turns out it was a computer glitch that went on for 4 hours before the pumps were shut down. The gas station owner says he lost $21,000 and he's asking the customers who benefited to use some of their savings to buy something at his convenience store. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
You think China's economic rise is something new? Yeah, not really.
Well, China is a huge country, which throughout of its history has considered itself the central kingdom of the universe that they knew. So they have a tradition of being the dominant country.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Henry Kissinger reflects on China. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.